right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, being joined right now by longtime Houstonian. He's been gone for a little while now, though, just running every show in the business. It's what he does, and now he's running the XFL, and he's with us here on ESPN 97.5. Oliver Luck here. Oliver, how are you?
John, I'm fine. Good morning, Lance. How you doing?
We are doing great, man. We appreciate you joining us. Congratulations. How'd this come about, running the XFL?
Well, I appreciate it. You know, basically it started, I guess, about 2 months ago, and I didn't really know Vince McMahon. I had met him at some point in passing, but his folks reached out to me and asked if I'd be willing to entertain a conversation with Vince, and I said, sure. And so I spent, a good bit of time with him, getting to know him, getting to better understand his vision, what he would like to build for the long term. And as I was, going through this process, I said to myself, gosh, all the ingredients for a successful league are present here, right? You got a strong leader in Vince McMahon who's got a track record for building businesses. I mean, WWE is a massive publicly traded company. You've got an opportunity, obviously, to do this in the spring. You've got a well-capitalized league, and gosh, we all know that's important, right? Because at the end of the day, money does matter. So it was a really interesting process, and I'm super excited about it.
So you got Canadian, obviously you have the NFL, now the American Alliance, is that what it's called? The Alliance of American Football, whatever, the XFL. Are there enough players out there?
I think there are, right? So, I mean, I know you guys watch a lot of football as well, but think about, the talent pool that is over the last 10, 15 years has come out of college football. I think college football has done a marvelous job of training, preparing guys, coming out of great programs. So I think there's enough talent. I really do. And you gotta, of course, marry that talent with good coaching. And that's critical. But I'm a believer after watching, intently college football the last 15, 20 years, watching pro football, that there really is enough talent out there.
Oliver Luck is with us here on ESPN 97.5. We understand. So, okay, so what's the model going to be like? How are you going to – players, is it going to be their cap money? How are you going to do it, make it fiscally responsible for anybody that's going to own a team?
Well, first of all, there will be 8 franchises when we launch in 2020. They're all going to be owned and operated by the league, right? So we won't have individual owners. And I think there are some definite advantages to that, just in terms of the ease of decision-making and implementing programs. We will, what we're going to try to do, John, is to reimagine the game, right? So what does that really mean? So if you look at the game, at the core of the game, and kind of take away the constraints, right, that are imposed by, commercial agreements or broadcast agreements, right, there's a way to look at that game and figure out how to solve a lot of the issues that we as fans all complain about. Too many breaks, there's no rhythm or flow to the game, right? It takes too long. It's a common complaint, certainly amongst millennials and Gen Z fans. I know from my experience in college football, complain amongst college students, the games take too long. But if you take away the constraints and start to build sort of from scratch, I think you can get to a game that's very fast paced, that's exciting, that's fun, that's well played, high quality, very entertaining, that is done in 2 hours and 40 minutes. In fact, there are so many sort of interesting layers when you begin to sort of reimagine and let your mind go a little bit and think about, removing all of those constraints. Now, those constraints are very lucrative, obviously, for major college football or for professional football. But I think we've got an opportunity, given technology, given sort of where digital platforms are, and being able to engage fans, where I think we can actually reimagine the game and bring something that's going to look a little bit different, but still be good, old-fashioned, hard-hitting football.
We've got Oliver Luck with us, and Oliver, the one thing that occurred to me that really doesn't seem to be much of a factor is, your son, I don't know if you know this or not, but your son is Andrew Luck, who is a pretty well-known quarterback in the NFL, and I wondered, are some people going to look at this as like, whoa, Oliver Luck is, is the commissioner of a different league that's competing with the NFL. But I don't really think you look at it that way, and I don't think really anybody looks at it that way. I haven't really heard anyone say that.
Well, I'll tell you this, right? I don't think that we're at all in any form or fashion competition for the National Football League. I played in the league. I worked for the league. There's some really smart, talented people running the league. I mean, the league is going to celebrate its centenary, 100-year anniversary, 2019. The league's a behemoth, and it's the envy of literally every sports league in this country or sports league overseas. So I just don't see the XFL being competition for the NFL. Having said that, I think we can build a long-term sustainable business, right? Because the NFL is what it is, but I think there's more than adequate space or room for another professional football league. So but the idea, I think you're right, the idea of us being competition probably hasn't dawned on many folks, because I'm not sure it's in the realm of possibility.
We want, believe it or not, we want Andrew to be, we want this, the AFC South to be competitive. We want him back. We want him on the field. I'm sure you do too, Oliver. Hopefully that gets done. We'd love to see him playing again, even though he destroyed us here in Houston so many times. Okay, so the first thing I think of when I think of the XFL is he hate me. Are you going to let the guys, is this going to be, again, freewheeling and guys being letting them be themselves?
No, we won't. No, I mean, simple as that, right? So, if you talk to Vince, as I did, he would say that one of the things they didn't do as well as they should have first time around was, having a real clear focus on the quality of the game, right? And we will this time around. And that includes things like he hates me, right? Fans want something a little bit different, but, they don't want something that's gimmicky or is considered, tawdry. There's a nice word, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'll see those types of things from XFL when we launch in 2020. But keep in mind, that kid, Rod Smart, he was a pretty good player.
No, yeah. He actually was.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well,
right? I forget with the Panthers or the Patriots. He won a Super Bowl. So, we'll keep the goodness of the player, but not so much the, all the other stuff.
Let's be honest. Every league, and I don't know how the XFL is going to position itself, but the NBA has the developmental league, which they now call the G League because of Gatorade sponsorship. Major League Baseball has more than three levels of minor league baseball that are feeder. The NFL is in desperate need of a feeder system, and one that allows players to be developed where you get actual game tape. They need a system. They need something where practice squad guys can actually go play, where street free agents have a chance to stay sharp and put some tape out there. And is that ultimately what the goal is, to potentially become that? Because there is, I think, that piece of the gigantic NFL pie. There is something out there for a feeder system to be that, or is it really you guys aren't going to be any feeder system? You just want to be a secondary football system.
Well, I don't disagree with your premise, in terms of the league needing some sort of a G League type of a an organization, but I'm not sure that's anywhere near what the XFL wants.
I think
there's also room, for a standalone organization that's stable, that is in good marketplaces, has solid fan base, offers high quality, family friendly entertainment. It's interesting. I've always thought, having worked for the league for 10 years with NFL Europe, I always thought that if the NFL wanted to put together a league, they could do it in a heartbeat. I mean, that's what they do, right? That's they've got more experience than anybody in that space. So I guess they just haven't gotten to a point where there's enough consensus that they need to develop some sort of a G League. But that's not what we are going to be about at all.
It's really interesting, by the way. NFL, my dad coached in NFL Europe, but it was called World League of American Football. And he was with New York, New Jersey at that time. But he went to, he went to Barcelona. He went to the Claymores, was Scottish Claymores. Mm-hmm.
He went to Frankfurt, the Galaxy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he loved it. And then he was with FBU, Football University, and he went, and they used to go teach in Austria and these other countries. And he said, I'm telling you what, he said, there are certain countries like Austria and Germany where you're going to start seeing some players show up from out of there. There was the kid who came in from rugby, the Polynesian player who is the rugby player who was drafted, Jordan Mailata, by the Eagles, the tackle. You had Moritz Boringer, who was he played in German Football League, that was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings year before last, where he had these unbelievable workout numbers. You're going to start
seeing... Didn't Margus Hunt come from...
Well, no, Margus was SMU.
Yeah, he was a German.
Yeah, he is a German. Right. That's right. Yeah. And he was a big physical guy. Are you guys going to try to take advantage of anything internationally? And also, are you also going to look to finally skirt the NFL rule of 18 and 19-year-old players playing in your league, younger players?
Two different questions. So, you know, internationally, you're right. The game is growing. There's big, talented, you know, guys playing overseas. And certainly, you know, we'll as we flesh out our player pool and how we go about it, right, we'll certainly look at guys like that. I think, you know, most of those guys ultimately end up, you know, spending a year or two at a U.S. high school or a college, right, because the level of play over in Europe just isn't quite, you know, where it needs to be. In terms of, you know, the eligibility of players and what we're going to do, as you know, right, the NFL's got the collective bargaining agreement that rules the, you know, selection of players with the draft and when a player is eligible for the league. We're not subject to that, but we haven't made any decisions on our own player eligibility. We're going to build out our football staff and sit down and try to figure out, you know, what the best approach for us is going to be. You know, we all also have to be really mindful of, you know, just the physical development of younger players. You know, there's a reason that I think the NFL and the Players Association decided on a 3-year, you know, policy, right? Because that gives guys the chance to physically develop. But we'll take a look at that. We haven't made any decisions on it at this point.
What about cities? Because Houston has been mentioned. What are you looking for?
Microphone.
What about cities? Houston has been mentioned as a possible destination. Is it best to go to NFL cities, or are you going to try to stay away from that? How's that going to work?
So we have sent a proposal to 30 communities, some obviously with NFL franchises, some without. And I'm not sure that there's necessarily a hard and fast rule, you know, about whether it's, you know, better to be in a city with or without an NFL franchise. You know, every city's different. The good news, I think, as I look at the landscape, is, you know, after, you know, I guess in the last 15, 20 years, there's just been a lot of new venues built, right? MLS has built some great venues, a lot of new baseball parks that, you know, have experience with football, whether it's a bowl game or, you know, a regular season game. Obviously, NFL buildings that have been, you know, renovated, college buildings. You know, you think about Houston, you think about, you know, the beautiful facility over there in Scott Street at U of H. So it's kind of neat that there are, I think, just more opportunities in various communities than, you know, than we're around 15, 20 years ago. So that I think gives us some really attractive options.
Oliver Luck with us here on ESPN 97.5, going to the XFL from the NCAA. And before you go, Oliver, the mess that is the AAU stuff and everything going on, are we going to see wholesale changes, do you think, at the NCAA level? Do we need wholesale changes?
You know, we're going to see some change. Clearly, men's basketball is going to be sort of the point of the spear, I think, you know, in that change. And as you guys know, the non-scholastic space, you know, the AAU leagues are in need of some kind of reform. I'm not sure we're going to see wholesale reform. You know, people often ask me, what's the NCAA going to look like 5 or 10 or 15 years from now? And my answer is a lot like it looks today. You know, yes, there's a lawsuit out in California, sort of O'Bannon 2.0, if you will. It's called the Jenkins case. And that, you know, that could, right, allow some changes in sort of the amateurism concept that we've had for, you know, so many decades. But I'm not sure that wholesale change is going to come. You know, I look at college athletics and see a pretty healthy enterprise. And one of the things that you guys would appreciate this because you all have kids, but one of the things that's fascinating to me is, you know, parents think getting a scholarship to play, you know, field hockey or football or soccer or to swim, they think, always have and always will, that it's really like the brass ring. It's a major accomplishment for their son or daughter. And as long as you have that sort of emphasis, right, from parents on the importance of athletics, as being tied to education. I think that the college enterprise will be fairly healthy as we go forward. I don't see massive change coming.
Oliver Luck here on ESPN 97.5, CEO of the XFL. So you just relaxed. It doesn't start till 2020, right? All you're going to do is just lay around on the beach, and then we'll get going. We'll get us a football league.
This is like the opposite of launching the dynamo that we had to do in like 3.5 hours.
Right, exactly. Well, Oliver, we appreciate you. You just got off a plane. We'll let you go. Thanks for hanging with us. And, hey, Houston is a great destination. You know better than anybody what a great sports town this is. So keep us in mind when you're picking those cities.
I'll appreciate that. Thanks, John. Thanks, Lance. Good chatting with you guys.
There he is, Oliver Luck, right here on ESPN 97.5.